You're listening to episode 276 of the She's Building Her Empire podcast. Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Welcome back to another episode. This is one all about 10 things I wish I would have known when I first gotten started. And trust me, it could have been a much higher number. I could have given you 20, 30, 40, 50 things. But I really tried to make sure that I'm giving you ones that you haven't heard before. And what I mean by that is there are a million podcasts like this, and there are a million blog posts and social media posts, and you've heard it from so many other people. But when I create this podcast, I always ask myself, how can I give them something they haven't heard before? So these are things that could really save you from making a big mistake or two that you just don't need to make, all right? Now, first, I want to say a big thank you for all the birthday love this week. The birthday reviews, you guys, that means so much to me. And it was a really big week for me because not only did I turn 34, but I also took Tanner to her first day of kindergarten. And just bittersweet, but as I'm, you know, getting another year older, it just reminds me that I was such a baby when I first started this entrepreneurial journey. It was 16 summers ago, and I just got out of high school. I was still 17, turning 18 at the end of summer, and I just took off. And it reminds me, I've been doing this a long time, but it also reminds me, wow, do I have a lot of mistakes and lessons learned? And this is my way of sharing that, giving back, and making sure you don't make any of those mistakes as well. So thank you for the birthday love. Thank you for the birthday reviews. The review of the week, I want to make sure I take a moment to say thank you to Anna Alexander. Make sure, Anna, that you send us an email, social@stacytuschel.com. You get to pick something out of our store for just being one of our featured reviews of the week. So thank you. It means so much to me when you guys post these. And then don't forget, as soon as we hit 200, which we're only a few away from 200 reviews, I'm going to be giving away a $100 Amazon gift card as well. So this review by Anna was titled, Exactly What You Need to Take Meaningful Action. I'm not someone who browses for motivational quotes to get going or closes her eyes and just trusts the universe. I like practical, actionable information. I like knowing the logic and the systems behind things and leave out the fluff. And that's why I love Stacey's podcast. She doesn't inspire me to just hope for the best. She gives me the information I need to actually get up and do my best. Her work ethic is admirable. And besides all the knowledge she's providing, she's also become a role model for me. She's definitely someone worth learning from. Thank you, Stacey, for all the value you're giving. Anna Alexander, thank you so much. That is so kind. And reading these just brightens my day. So that was the best birthday present I could have asked for. So thank you. All right, ladies, if you're ready, let's dive in to the 10 things I wish I would have known when I first gotten started. Number one, I wish I would have focused on one thing. I want to do everything all the time, right? Sound like anybody else listening possibly. So this is by far my biggest mistake. And I will probably say that about each one because they feel so obvious after you figured it out, right? But in the moment, it doesn't. And doing all the things brings chaos and not organized chaos, right? It's real chaos and confusion to our customers. So I thought when I had five people buy something that I needed to create another product or program instead of tweaking that program and making it better and then selling it again. And I did this in my dance studio. So you think, oh, you know, when you have one business and you make this mistake, you won't make it again. No, sometimes you have to make it a couple times. So in my studios and then again in my online business, I was always thinking, I'm leaving money on the table or my customers want more from me. I need to create another offer, another program or product or whatever it is. But in reality, the best thing I can do for my customers is make the original product better. Serve more people with that. Don't diversify until you've mastered the first thing. So most of us are not in the mastery stage yet when we decide that it's time for something new. When it's time for something new, it's because you have completely mastered. You have a well-oiled machine. If you can't say that about a certain product or program, or you haven't fully utilized just the potential and the capacity of what it can do, slow down and go back to that one thing. If you haven't read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, definitely make sure to check out that book, okay? Number two, protect your personal information. Now, I had to learn this the hard way many years ago, and I didn't invest in a business phone line at first because I thought, why can't I just use my cell phone, right? I had it publicly listed on our website, my dance studio building, my email, and it was fine when I was first starting out and was small, but I didn't get that many calls, right? But one day, the business started to get much bigger, and the calls were starting to happen all the time. So it would interrupt me all hours of the day. One time the phone rang at 3:30 in the morning. You guys, I'm so embarrassed to even tell you this story. The phone rang at 3:30 in the morning. And while I was half asleep, because you don't know what's going on when you're in this middle of the night, I answered because I'm assuming maybe it's family or it's Kent or a friend and it's an emergency, right? So I answered hello. And the woman on the other end was like, hello? Like very, very confused that somebody just answered the phone at 3:30 in the morning. And she even said, I'm so sorry. I didn't think anyone was going to answer. I was just calling to leave a message that I wouldn't be able to make it to our appointment tomorrow. So she apologized for waking me up. And I'm like, oh, no. Like you didn't wake me, right? You try to kind of make it sound a little better. You didn't wake me. I was up, even though she could clearly tell I was still half asleep. Right? So there was just no downtime for me. There were people who didn't understand those boundaries. Now the 3:30 a.m. call, she was thinking she was getting the answer machine. She was fine. I understand that. I was the crazy one in that situation. But how about the people that shoot you text messages because they know it's your cell phone and they say things like, I know you're getting married today, but I just wanted to update my credit card when you have a minute. Yes, you guys, that happened to me. Literally, somebody messaged me on the day I was getting married. And yes, I actually replied to that response. So some people are respectful and some people think, I am paying you, so you need to be on my beck and call, right? At some point, I had to get a new cell phone number and transfer that number to the new business phone line. Thankfully, when I started my online business, I knew this, so I didn't make that mistake. But I know some of you don't know this yet. And I want to make sure you know what to do and how to get out of it if you're actually already there. So first, I use tools like Zoom or Skype, right? So that no one can just contact me whenever they want. It's by appointment only. Or even if I use something like Voxer, it's so much better to have Voxer set up with no notifications going off than it is for them to have your actual phone number where they can text you. If for some reason I need to call them, in my iPhone settings, I turn off my caller ID. So there is a setting where you can actually make sure they don't see the number you are calling from. It just shows up as blocked. If you need a business phone line, but it is just kind of so silly to pay for one, depending on if you even need a, like have a brick and mortar or not, we use Google Voice in our online business. So it's free. And there are a bunch of different features to make sure this works the way you want so you can set it up correctly. I do not give out my cell phone number to anyone, you guys. Nobody has my cell phone number. Email is just different because you decide when you check it and how often. And anytime you can hire someone to come in and take that over. Your cell phone is a different story. I don't really have the want or desire to change my cell phone number. So for me to have to do that would be just such a pain. So just keep your personal stuff private, okay? Number three, you don't have to hire the best of the best. Oh my goodness, this was my biggest, worst one that I've made of all times. So we all know that there are levels of every contractor we hire, right? Different price points. The higher the level, maybe the more they charge, not always, but usually. So there are also things like software that do more and charge more. For instance, Infusionsoft is a big email provider that does pretty much everything. And a lot of the big names in the space probably use it and you probably see it all the time. Another one that I heard about was Entreport. And I have this quote that stuck in my head, and sometimes it really helps me, and sometimes it's overkill. And that quote is, start with the end in mind. Meaning, if you are going to end somewhere, just start there. And I thought, well, Entreport looks good. I will start there. And if that's where I want to end up, like this makes sense, right? So at the time, I think I saw, oh, Marie Forleo uses Entreport. So then I should use Entreport, right? So at that time, a few years ago, Entreport was $297 a month, while something like ConvertKit was $29 a month, okay? When you add that up for the first year, the difference is over $3,000. Should I have gone with some less expensive, something like ConvertKit? Absolutely. Like that, I always think to myself, oh, I lost this much money, or oh, I shouldn't have done this, right? So that $3,000 could have been better spent someplace else. Now, I think I realize that there is a time to up level, and it isn't always from day one, especially when you're just figuring out who you are and what you want to do. I owned a lot of software and I paid for it monthly when I wasn't even publicly sharing anything yet, because it takes time to set everything up. So I was paying, but I wasn't selling. So instead of hiring and buying A plus, I'm going to like rate them on a school scale, right? An A plus contractor or software, I wish I would have gone for the B plus. Okay. Now A plus and B plus are not that far apart when you're talking about their skills, right? But they can be drastically different when you're talking about their costs. Sometimes just because someone has worked with a big name, their price immediately skyrockets because they have that credibility. My problem was, if someone would publicly mention their copywriter, videographer, virtual assistant, I always thought I needed to work with them because I was starting with the end in mind. So if I'm going to end up there, I should hire them now. But I realized that I wasn't ready for the best A plus people. I shouldn't have been paying for the best of the best while I was figuring out who I was and evolving. And the only A plus player it is that you ever need to hire early on in your business is an A plus mentor, right? Because unless that copywriter is a branding mentor who can actually help you, I wouldn't do it. I hired this incredible Facebook ads person. And I say incredible because she had a lot of names tied to her. All the gurus had given her testimonials on her website. I knew a few people, like big players that she was running ads for, and she seemed like the perfect fit. And she was, for someone who had a converting funnel. But I didn't. I hadn't even tested this funnel where I was collecting emails and then eventually trying to get them to buy a product, right? I haven't even tested this on a warm audience yet, but I was expecting her to get me results with cold traffic, random people that didn't know me from Adam. So many lessons learned when it comes to this, okay? So another takeaway was, the higher up you are, a lot of times they can't give you everything that you can get with a B-level player. So let me just kind of break this down. For instance, let's say if I get the best of the best in the photography industry, you're probably going to get a few professionally edited photos for a very like low price of your right arm or left leg, right? I mean, it's sometimes insane where you're going, wait a minute, 10 photos and this is what it's costing me, right? But of course, you guys, we're valuing their work. They're just such great contractors. But my point is, if I could hire a B plus photographer, you might score every single photo they ever took of you in the entire session and give you rights to every single photo, because they're just not at the level yet for somebody to say, yep, here's my price and here's what you're going to get. Okay, so really be looking at who you're hiring. And I'm not saying go with C or D or even B minus. I'm saying B plus. B plus is still a pretty high level of an expert, okay? So be careful when you're hiring and buying software and all of that good stuff, okay? Number four, get personal. People don't want to buy from just a business these days. They want to feel connected to the brand and to the seller. The more you can share and show them that you are a real person, a small business owner, the more they're going to relate and want to support you. We want to look professional and polished, but the more you resonate and show that you're real, the more they're going to appreciate it. I always thought, why would anybody care about my personal life, right? They don't need to know that Tanner just went to her first day of kindergarten, or Tegan cried because she wanted to go too. And here's the thing, I was right. My customers don't need to know that, but they want to know that. Just like I want to know more about somebody I follow, that I like, that I trust. Let people see more of you than just your business. Write down things that you love, you dislike, that you think are funny, that you think are stupid, and share yourself, not just your business. And this one is just, it's kind of short and sweet here, but I don't want it to get lost within this podcast, because this was one of my biggest game changers for me. And I'm still a work in progress. You see me being a work in progress here. I'm trying to share more. And every time I do, I hear from you. And it reminds me to do it more often. Number five, up level faster. When I started researching online, just everything there was to know about this space, all I was following were these just big gurus. And because they were making multiple millions of dollars per year, they no longer offered private coaching, high level masterminds, or just anything where you could get any real time and attention from them. which is great for them, but not for someone starting out that needs personal attention. I was buying online course after online course and spending time with 500 to 1,000 other people buying these programs with me at the same time or attending these large live events. But I was so desperately looking for a private coach or a high-level mastermind, but I got it in my head that people didn't do that anymore because they didn't need to. Some people, yes, but not everyone. And I finally found a private coach about a year plus into my online business, and my business started making consistent money within 90 days. I spent the first year basically testing and failing, trial and error for everything, figuring out everything on my own. But when I found my private coach, he completely fast-tracked that time. I don't know about you, but I didn't have time when I was first starting. I had a newborn baby. I had a 2.5-year-old, another business that still needed my attention. My time was extremely limited, and anything that could have helped me speed that up would have been just a huge game changer. Now, what I like about private coaching is you can find whatever coach you want, and as long as they think you are a good fit to work with them, they might take you on. But the problem I was having was when it came to finding a mastermind. I also kept looking for a mastermind, which is just basically a small group of people that come together and they brainstorm, discuss ideas, they share wins, lessons learned, support one another, and so much more. And I've been involved in masterminds for over a decade, and I tried a few in the online space before I found the right one. Now, I was recently talking to someone who said she didn't want to be in a mastermind unless everyone was way above her, okay? She wanted to be in one that she could strive to be where everyone else was at. This is a common statement I hear, and you guys, I've said it myself, so there is no judgment here, okay? But this is really hard for me to say this, but I have to say it because I love you, and just like that, I needed to hear the same thing from somebody. I want to help you too. The problem is the people that are way above you don't want you to be in the group, okay? I'm sorry, but they don't want someone way below them. They want people that will challenge them and feel like they belong in the group with them. So if you aren't making money in your business right now, it's going to be really hard to find a mastermind group where everyone's making, you know, multiple six figures. Even if you think, but that's what I want to make next year, the problem is they want to make maybe double that next year. When you are first getting started and making no money, understand that you are going to be with people at your level. But that doesn't mean that just because they aren't making money, they aren't go-getters, that they are, you know, there's so many successful people out there that are starting a business and they're going to do whatever it takes to become super successful. And if that sounds like you, the good news is there's a lot more of you out there, right? I was one of those people. Just 2.5 years ago, no one wanted me in their mastermind because I wasn't making money online. But I had other things I could bring to the table, right? So one mistake that I made was I invested in a mastermind where the price was so cheap, it should have stopped me right there. I even said, oh, wow, I thought this was going to be way more than that, right? Hello, red flag, right? What I realized in that mastermind was the people I was trying to get around, those go-getters, they were spending way more than that. They were invested, willing to do whatever it took. They weren't shopping around for the cheapest mastermind. That was a breakthrough for me. So I started to look at that price in a completely different way. There was no more shopping around, right? Hey, real quick, if you are loving the She's Building Her Empire podcast, then you are going to love my free masterclass, My 4-Step Framework to a Digital Product That Sells. People always ask, how did you blow up so quickly? And I will tell you, it was a lot of trial and error, and I break it all down for you here. If you haven't already checked it out, go to shesbuildingherempire.com/masterclass, and I will see you there. All right, back to today's show. Number 6, this is not going to be a crazy overnight success. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take you years, but I'm saying if you were hoping for your big break on week 3, it just might not turn out the way you were hoping. So don't rush. I would work till midnight. The hustle was real and it was crazy. I was always working, always checking email, replying on social media every minute of every day. But here's the thing. If it's not going to happen overnight, right? You have to understand that this is a marathon. It is not a 5K. So you need to set boundaries. You need to plan a morning routine, a bedtime routine. Like, you need to get all of this together. You need to figure out times when you get to take a break, actually enjoy your life. With that, I would say reward yourself along the way. I think a lot of us believe it's just a 5K. And when we cross that finish line, like, oh, just wait till you see what we buy, or wait till you see what my schedule is going to look like then. I'm going to spend more time with my kids, or I'm going to go on dates with my husband. I'm going to go to the spa for the entire day. We plan and plan and plan, but we keep working and wonder, where is the finish line? When is it happening? The real problem I've noticed with myself is someone keeps moving the finish line. I set a goal, and when I'm just about to achieve it, I set a new goal, and I keep increasing it, and I keep pushing it further and further away. And in reality, I've been crossing the finish lines with the goals that I've set. Well, because I keep pushing it further and further away, and talking to a lot of friends, other high achievers or guest experts that I've interviewed right here on this show, it sounds like I'm not alone in that. So here's what I've started doing. I realize that it's a never-ending marathon. And that's okay, because it's a race I don't want to stop. I love the journey that I'm on. But, and this is a big, big but, we can't just reward ourselves at the end, because the end is way further away than we think. We need to reward ourselves at the mile markers. Every time we pass a number, stop and take a moment to celebrate that you are one step closer. Those rewards could be taking a break in the middle of the afternoon and going for a walk, a date night on a Tuesday, a girl's night out, that gorgeous Tory Burch purse you eyed up at the store. It doesn't matter if it costs a little or if it's free, right? Recognize your achievements and reward yourself for a job well done, because that is how you're going to keep the motivation going and kick the burnout to the curb. Number 7, make sure everything flows. Just because you show up on social media doesn't mean it's actually doing anything, right? I would post these pretty graphics and I would show up live, and I thought I was doing all the things. I even had a freebie that I would talk about occasionally. And it seemed like I had all these pieces, but looking back, they didn't go together. I would ask myself 5 minutes before going live, have you ever done that? Like, okay, I'm going to go live. What should I talk about, right? What should I talk about today? Okay, I know. How would I talk about 5 things you need to know when you're first getting started? Okay, great. What freebie should I talk about? Is there a freebie I can offer? And all of a sudden I would pick some random freebie, like 10 questions to ask in the interview process when hiring your next employee. Even though the people that were attracted to this live are starting out and they don't need to hire somebody right now. It didn't make sense. Nothing led to the next thing. I wasn't clear on my message, and I definitely didn't have a clear customer journey for my customers to take. So your social media content is leading them to your freebie. Your freebie should be leading them to your product. Everything should flow. This one thing would have given me so much more conversion, as in actually sales, right? People buying stuff. It would have grown my email list faster. It would have just completely changed the trajectory of my business. So don't just do all of the things or check off all the boxes and think you're winning. You need a strategy in place. Number 8, you can dream bigger than that. Now, here in Wisconsin, I am in my comfort zone. I still see people that I went to high school with. Everything is very familiar. And to a lot of people here, I am doing big things, right? So whether that's friends, family, neighbors, friends from school, like anybody, right? It feels and appears to me that I'm doing some pretty big things, because people will say, oh, wow, I see this or I see that. So when I'm here, I think I've got it all together. Life is amazing. Just wait till you see what I've been working on, right? It just feels so different. Then I head to an event with other entrepreneurs out of state, right? Someplace else, usually California, because it seems like that's where a lot of people live that are hosting these events. And all of a sudden, my dreams sound teeny tiny. I was playing more on this realistic side, and I started to see that there are crazy success stories that aren't the norm. And I realized I needed to stop making realistic goals. I needed to pick things that stretched me, but then I needed to say of them around people that didn't think they were outrageous. In fact, I would say a crazy big goal, and somebody would say, why not charge more? Why not offer less of your time? Like, they would say things and I would think, I'm already thinking this is a crazy goal and you are making it even bigger, right? So I've had people in my life say a goal and I would second guess them. I would think in my head, that doesn't sound realistic, or I don't think they're actually going to do it. I wouldn't say that, but I would think that. Then a few months later, they'd come back, and not only would they hit that goal, they would exceed their expectations. And my mind was blown. And that's why when a client says to me, I want to do this in the next 90 days, do you think it's possible? You will never hear me say no, because I have realized that anything is possible. You can set the biggest dream you have, and I hope you do. But the one thing that is usually missing from these gigantic dreams that people are setting, they're just not achieving it. You better make sure you are playing at that level, and you better take the action that that dream needs to really back it up and make it happen. Okay. Number 9, focus on growing your list. Here's the thing. I knew this. I heard it over and over and over, and you probably know it too. But I thought, I'm going to do that as soon as I grew my Facebook following or numbers that were public. And I really thought it was more important for those vanity numbers for credibility. Yet I would hear about growing your email list and things like that. You know, you don't own social media platforms, so make sure to grow your list. I heard that. And you're thinking, Stacey, you said you were going to list all of the ones that we didn't already know, right? But I already know this one. Okay. Do you really know it if you are not doing it? Do you really know it if you are not doing it? I put this in here because there are probably more than a handful of you, probably several handfuls of you who are listening, who are thinking, I know this, but yet your actions do not show you know it yet. Okay. And I'm going to say it again, even though you probably do, you probably have heard of it. I'm not going to say you know it. You've probably heard it before, but for some reason it is not triggering in your head. And I am with you because it took me a full year. All I did was delay that success for a year. If you say you know this, but you're not doing it, it does not count. You don't truly know if you are not doing, because if you absolutely knew and understood how important list building was, you would take action on it. What's more important for you? I'm going to ask you this. Do you want to look like you're successful with crazy high Facebook group numbers and a fan page and all of those numbers that are public knowledge people can see, but very little sales, right? Or do you want a successful business on the inside, even though your social media following maybe not be that big? Okay. I'm going to say 80% of you are going to say, I want the successful business, right? Yeah, there's probably 20% out there where your ego still says, but I want to look successful. And I'm urging you to reevaluate that. Why are you really doing this business? It's probably to have freedom and flexibility. So in your head, you're thinking, well, I want to make money, but you really want to make money so you have the freedom and flexibility, right? So I want you to be thinking about that. And if you are focused on money and profitability, great, because number 10 is just that. Focus on profit, not gross, okay? So if you do your bookkeeping, and some of you may or may not, that's probably another thing we should talk about, but another podcast, okay? So on your bookkeeping, there's going to be something called net profit, and there is going to be something where it's your gross revenue, right? Your gross revenue, and this is how I always remember this, because I could never remember between gross and net, like which one is which. Okay, this is just a silly thing that I will never forget. I always think gross, like just everything is coming at you, like, and some of it's gross, but the net catches the good stuff, right? So the net is always going to be smaller than the gross, okay? Hopefully for some of you, that makes sense. So that means you could have a 7-figure business, which is bringing in the gross 7 figures, but how much are you actually netting, okay? How much of the good stuff are we keeping? So the first suggestion I would make is to read the book Profit First. I read this book on vacation about a little over a year ago, and I was about 15 years in my business, and I honestly said to myself, I've been doing this whole business thing completely wrong. And it's really, really hard to break a habit, you guys, when you've been in business for 15 years. So read this book and know that when you focus on profit and actually making money, you will be much happier than saying, I want a 6-figure business, I want a 7-figure business, or a 6-figure launch, or a 7-figure launch. What we should be saying is, I want to net X amount of dollars this year. I want to profit X amount of dollars on this launch. Because here's the thing, you can have a huge, crazy, successful on the outside, $1 million business, right? It brings you in $1 million per year in gross revenues. But guess what? Nobody ever says this. But you can net a negative number, meaning you can actually spend $1.1 million to keep a $1 million business going. So you can be losing money with a 7-figure business. So you don't really want a 6 or 7-figure business. What you want, again, is most likely that freedom and flexibility. And with that comes the need for a profit, right? To keep going. So focus on the right numbers. Focus on the profit. Don't focus on the gross, all right? So it's again where we have to kick our ego to the curb. Do we want to sound like a big deal throwing around big numbers, or do we want to actually enjoy our business and our life that we've designed? Now, those are my 10, and I've got a few more things that I did because I actually not only wanted to share mine, but I wanted to take a moment to poll some other people in our Facebook group and some other Facebook groups to see what they said, because every single person you talk to, we're all going to have great lessons learned. And if I can read some of these and go, okay, good to know, I'm not going to do this, or it's sometimes just a really great reminder, okay? So if you aren't a part of the She's Building Her Empire Facebook group, definitely check it out. That's where I grabbed some of these. So Vicky Smith said, just like the light bulb, it's going to take a few tries to get it right. So good. I could not agree more. Again, it's not going to be this overnight success. It's probably not going to happen on the first try. It could, but guess what? Your second try, your third try, it'll always be better. Okay. Anna Osgoodby said, don't be afraid to switch it up as you go. Getting stuck on a plan that isn't working will just set you back. I love that because sometimes we get so caught in the fact that we've already committed, or everybody knows we're doing this. How could we switch it, right? Again, it's that ego. The ego is pulling us down. Sarah Wigner said, to develop and trust my intuition before learning the strategies. So good, Sarah. Rainey Fidelis said that I could have started with premium pricing and folks would still buy if I promoted it the right way. So good. It's all in the launch, right? It's all in that runway leading up to the launch. And you can sell anything if you have that big, bold promise we always talk about and just that sense of urgency. So, Rainey, that's such a good realization. All right, Katrina Landero, that I could make money before I even launched. I know. And what's crazy is how many of you listening right now could make a sale today, your first dollar today? And some people could. Some people actually could. They know people, whether it's in a very small email list or a very small Facebook group or privately reaching out to somebody that could definitely use their advice. But I can't tell you how many clients come to me and I challenge them in that first week to make that sale. And they always do. Always do. And it's so funny because we have that doubt of, well, I've got to launch this first. I've got to publicly announce my business, or I've got to. You don't have to do anything, right? Sometimes you can absolutely kind of jumpstart it in a certain way if you have those strategies. All right, Amelia RN said, when I got started, I sincerely thought that all I needed was a laptop. I had a learning curve around expenses. Yeah, we so often hear about the laptop lifestyle. So I don't blame you that you thought, okay, I got my laptop. All right, let's do this. And I do believe that if you had to make it work with just a laptop, you could. But I also think, Amelia, you're totally right that there are a few things that you can invest in that could make your life a whole lot easier. The good news is they're pretty inexpensive, but they can add up if you don't know which ones to get. All right, last one. Kaylin Smith, she said, I regret not executing hard and fast and consistently with my message. And then she said, lastly, and no fear. Fear has been my biggest regret. Yeah, and it's so sad that fear can just keep us, just holding us back, right? And the second you finally let it go, it's always our biggest regret. Why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I do this earlier? So I hope these really, really help you guys. Thank you so much for sharing these publicly. I appreciate that. And I know that you've helped save someone from doing that same mistake. You've given them encouragement and inspiration. And they can now take that lesson learned and move on faster because of you. So this is one episode where I would listen to it again. There was so much in here. And if you could take away one more thing by listening to it again, it could save you hours of wasted time or bring in that much more money or save you that much more time. So even though you've probably already made a mistake in your business, and if you haven't, you will, right? We all do. Don't worry, because you're getting smarter. You're getting stronger. And these are things that mold the person you are today. I always say, you know, people will say to me, I don't know if I can coach. I don't know if, how are you positive you can help people when they come to you? And I always say, I've been doing this for 16 years. And there's probably something that I've already had to go through or made that mistake on or had to figure it out myself to know that I can help somebody who comes to me, right? So all of these lessons learned, they're making you stronger and smarter and more experienced. So don't be beating yourself up because you made a mistake. Be excited that you didn't let fear hold you back and you did it anyway. And now you have the knowledge to do it better next time. Now, I know I brought up setting up boundaries with number 6 here. And if you haven't listened to episode just 2 back, you guys, it was all about getting back into the swing of things and making sure that whatever it is you're doing and rushing and figuring out when should I be working, how should I be doing this, I really think you should listen to that episode next if you didn't already. And if you're like, I did and I didn't have my system set up, do the work and create those systems, okay? I was blown away by your feedback and I wasn't sure if that was even going to be an episode you would enjoy or, you know, do they need this? I love putting it together. I just didn't know if you would like it. And I was really happy to hear that some of you were looking for a step-by-step guide of what you do throughout your day. So make sure to check that out. I definitely think this could be a really great combo with this episode as well. All right, my friends, thank you for listening today. And I cannot wait until we get to hang out next week. In the meantime, come say hi on Instagram at Stacey Tuschel, or let's continue this conversation in the She's Building Her Empire Facebook group. All right, see you soon. We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.